You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Scripture reading. Let's begin with verse 11. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, who were sometimes far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your holy word, because now we ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Let's start with prayer. Father, we pause now. We just thank you for the time we can set aside to study your word. We thank you for the completeness of the Bible and how it's available for us that we might study it to be approved in your sight. And we pray for the lesson to follow that it give glory to your Son Christ, for it's in his name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Joe, if you could come pass this handout. Continuing, this will be I think Derek's back next week. He kind of gave me 3 Sundays here that I'm able to present some things on right division. And this is the last little sub-study, I guess, if you would, of right division. And Miles Coverdale, who gave us our first complete translation of the Bible, and the English translation, that is, and he had in the flyleaf of his Bible the words concerning the laws of interpretation, and he gave people the hint. He says it should greatly help you understand Scripture if you mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom and to whom, with what words, at what time, where, to what extent, with what circumstance, and then considering what goes before and what follows. So today we're going to do that. We're going to consider what goes before and what follows. And we're going to do that with a couple of particular passages of Scripture. And I was contemplating on what to present this week. I thought of this Ephesians 2. And I never forget the church camp where we were at a Wednesday night church fellowship that was, we'd left the camp and we went to see this church and we just visited for an evening, and Mike Penny was with us that year, and this was one of the funniest events I've been at. And he opened with the scripture reading today, and we're in Ephesians chapter 2, and when he was reading this passage, he talked about the big buts in Scripture. And he did so in the fact that when he said it, he didn't know what he was saying. And everybody took it the wrong way. And he was the only one that knew it. Because verse 4 in Ephesians 2, he says, but now, you know, but God. See, this is the but. See, it's the comparative contrast. It's see what was said before and what's after. And that's what Miles Coverdale was talking about, considering what goes before and what follows. So he was talking about the big buts in Scripture, and everybody was just howling. And he realized what he said, and then he turned beet red. And I guess you had to be there. It was an event that was worth seeing. But I thought about it, and every now and then, as I read this passage, I think of the big buts in Scripture, and I think you know, there are a lot of passages where that's trying to call to our attention, whether it's in regards to salvation or our walk or our position with Christ in the heavenlies. That phrase does point some things out, and that's something we can look at. Before we go down that path, though, I do want to say that there are examples of that as well. Balaam, I think, is one that came to mind with me. Let's hold our place in Ephesians, but let's go to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22. Now here you have in history Balaam and Balak. And Balaam being, you know, prophet, and Balak being someone who's wanting to use his power to his own advantage. And to make a long story short, here you might see verse 2, Balak the son of Zippor saw that the Israel had done unto the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because there were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Well, he said, you know, I'm going to figure out how to beat the children of Israel. I don't want them doing the same thing to me. So verse 5, he sent messengers unto Balaam. Okay. In verse 6, he says, come now, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. So I want to use some godly power. I just want to use Balaam. Would you just please curse this people, and then I'll be in a good position. And verse 12, God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Well, there was a passage. Now you go down to verse 20. And God sent unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call on thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt thou do. So see, they were going to send people unto Balaam. They were going to say, come, and they were going to take him out to the people. And then they said to curse them. And the Lord was telling him, all right, if there's men come for you, you go ahead and go with them. But you're going to say what I want to say. And that's going to be a blessing, not a cursing. Okay. Well, here's where the starts getting specific. Verse 21. Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now, what I probably felt in verse 21, Balaam set in his own mind to do something. And apparently it was contrary to what God wanted because his anger was kindled because he went. How many times have we in our own walk taken a path where, you know, by gosh, I'm going to do this, contrary whether it's God's will or not? And not only that, we do it in such a way that we're going to be just like this further down this passage here. Now, he was riding, verse 22, second half, he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. Now the donkey was smarter than he was. Now he didn't see this angel. The donkey did. The donkey was trying to give him a hint, though. The donkey just kind of went, I'm going to go this other way. Well, what did Balaam do? He wasn't too kind. Balaam smote the ass to turn her to the way, but the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. I think that's proverbial between a rock and a hard place, perhaps. But yet, what does he do? The angel of the Lord stood there, and when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. Well, he was so happy, he smote her again. He was so intent on getting to where he wanted to go. Who's being the ass here, okay, is what's really being said. Well, here we have again, the angel of the Lord went further, stood in a narrow place. There was no way to turn either to the right nor to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me three times? Now, the donkey says this to Balaam. Now, instead of saying, oh my gosh, the donkey's talking, what is Balaam? Balaam is so bent and it's so intent on getting his way. He's not at all stunned. And Balaam said unto the ass, verse 29, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, that now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, which thou hast ridden ever since I was with thee this day? Was I ever, did I ever do anything to do so this unto me? And he said, no. Well, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his head. And he bowed down his head, and he fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore thou hast smitten thine ass three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned me three times, and unless she had turned from me, surely now I had slain thee and saved her alive. Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. It took a revelation of his opening of his eyes to acknowledge the fact that those three times that he was trying to go his own way, he kept running into a brick wall. And, you know, so when we talk about the big buts in Scripture, this is his record. If you go to 2 Peter chapter 2, the record that Balaam had, Second Peter 2, we'll start at verse 1. Talking about false prophets among the people. There shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying that the Lord bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and for their damnation slumbers not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, he cast them down. He spared not Noah. But if you jump down to verse, I believe around verse 16, 15. Having eyes full of, which have forsaken the right way and are gone away, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with the man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Well, I read that passage and I thought, well, the description of the donkey probably meant was for the description of the other person. Right? That is something that the big butt scripture. And I thought, you know, Lord, how many times am I butting up? Am I trying to do my own way versus his way? Well, when Mr. Penny was up giving the passage on Ephesians 2, that wasn't what he was talking about. That was a little side journey that I had a laugh this morning as I went down that path. You know, the Lord does have a sense of humor, and I think in that example he gives us some of that. But let's go back now to Ephesians chapter 2, and this is where your handout picks up. The phrase, but now, excuse me. The phrase but now indicates a subject matter is being presented which is being handled previously one way, but now a new way has been revealed. So in Ephesians 2:11 through 17, in verse 13 we see a but now. Well, that really basically begs the question, what went on before and what's going on after? And that's why Mr. Penny talked about this being one of the biggest but nows in Scripture. You know, big buts in Scripture. Because if so much is being presented before this, look at this. For instance, in verse 11, you are Gentiles in the flesh. You're called uncircumcision. You are without Christ. You're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You are strangers from the covenants of promise. You have no hope, and you are without God. There's like seven or eight things there before the but now. That's a bad position. Matter of fact, all those things that are listed there, in verse 13 it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who had all those things attached to you are now made near by the blood of Christ. See, he is our peace. He has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He abolished in his flesh this enmity, all those things that were listed against us. He nailed to the cross and he took away from us. He made peace and he reconciled unto himself, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain that enmity. And he came and preached unto you which were far off and them that were nigh. So in Ephesians, here we have this salvation that's in Christ Jesus. We saw the position that we had before. What went before was all this position of the Gentiles in time immemorial. Going back until the first Israelite, the first Jew was called, Abraham. From that point on, Gentiles were in this position. They were in the flesh. They were uncircumcised. They were out God. And it wasn't until Christ came, in Ephesians, Paul was given this message to give to us. Well, Ephesians 5, 6 through 12 gives us another example of this, but it now concerns our walk. And I think as we go through these, I think what I'm really trying to show you is that when you apply the internal laws of interpretation, or applying the things that are helping you study to be approved unto God, that you're able to, when you see that the words "but now" are trying to bring something out, you can go down and you can study that, and you can see comparison contrast, and you get at the end of the journey through that study, and I hope today you'll see that. You'll see that there's a picture painted, and that the contrast, you know, when you compare the things, and last week I talked about the apple. When I go to the grocery store, when I try and find a good apple, I don't compare the apple with an orange. It just doesn't work. I compare apples with other apples. I pick up the apple and I press it, and if it snaps with my thumb, it's a good apple. If another apple squishes in, it's, you know, a yucky apple, and I put it back. So I'm comparing apples to apples. And in here, when we look at Scripture, we're to compare apples to apples. As we pick a subject, we're looked at what goes before and what's after. Well, Ephesians 5, 6 to 12, let's talk about our walk. Here, in verse 8, it says, "We were in darkness, and in that darkness we had fruit of the darkness." Well, there's the fruit of the Spirit, but there's also fruit of the darkness. You know, all those things that when we walk of children of wrath and children of disobedience. But we were not to partake of them. Matter of fact, I'm going to flip there. That fruit of darkness, Ephesians 5, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, these are not convenient, fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness. See, these are all the fruits of darkness. But now, we are light in the Lord. We are to walk as children of light. Well, how are we to walk? Well, the comparison contrast here are all the fruits of the darkness. What are the fruits of the Spirit or the light? And you see that in the following few verses. You see that being brought out, that the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, righteousness, truth. And we know in Galatians, we know the fruit of the Spirit as well. So in 11, we're not to have any of the fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. See, so that's where the "but now" in this passage is giving you a comparison contrast of your walk. In Philippians 2, 12 and 13, you see that it's now about Paul's presence. He says, "As you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." So his emphasis is, whatever you were doing, now that I'm gone, do it even more. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now we know that that's not salvation from a... Because Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, you know, salvation is a gift of God. That's your walk. Okay. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, your course that's set before you. Now in Colossians 1:25 through 27, we start to see some things that are very hefty. We saw some walk, we saw our position in salvation. But in Colossians 1:25 through 27, here he says, he's made a minister. Now this is the Apostle Paul talking. "According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me to you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hidden from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." You know, this technique of studying, of taking that phrase "but now" and comparing, you're running across different truths. And when you come to Colossians, you come across a very big truth. Matter of fact, he says this truth was to fulfill the word of God, to complete. That word "fulfill" is to fill up, lacking nothing, like the cup that is now completely full of water. There's lacking. So there's no more to add to it. So when you run into this, you're saying, wow, now I've got something that, what was this, but now is made manifest to a saint. So now we've got the rabbit trail to run down and to try and find that out. Well, Colossians 3, 5 through 17 really ties back up with the walk of Ephesians 5, 6 through 12. But let's jump down to the next section, which is foundation of the world before versus from or since. Okay. We just now thought about Colossians 1, 25 and 27. And one thing in there, as we saw in 26, even the mystery which had been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Well, the but now, before the but now, something was hidden from ages and from generations. And at that point in time, Paul was writing Colossians, it's now made manifest or being revealed to the saints. So that's very interesting. So let's follow this further. Now, there's a study I've done in the past, and you may or may not have heard this, but the foundation of the world, when you take foundation and world, and then you do a search in the concordance, and you look at all the passages that have foundation and world in it, and you combine that with before, and you combine that with from or since, you come up with some passages that, again, shed some very interesting light on this topic of foundation of the world. Okay? So, again, going back to Miles Coverdale's principle of considering what goes before and what follows, let's take the foundation of the world. Because if the foundation of the world, and you have something that's hidden from ages and from generations, okay, let's maybe look at before the foundation of the world, and then let's look at from or since the foundation of the world. Because from the foundation of the world, we have ages and generations. Okay, but before, we may have something different. Well, when I did the search in the concordance that way, I came up to John 17:24, and it says here, Father, and this is he's talking to this is the true Lord's prayer. This is when he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. Well, here you have a discussion between the Son and the Father. And he's acknowledging that he was the love that he had before the foundation of the world. You know, John 8:58, let me go there real quick. The Lord's having a pretty hefty discussion with the Jewish leaders at the time. John 8:58. When he's talking, he says, Jesus said unto them, Very verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am that I am. That goes back to Exodus 3:14, you know, when God called Moses and he said, I'm going to send you into Israel. He's like, you know, I'm just not very eloquent. You know, who should I say that's sending me? And he said, I am that I am. Tell him I am that sent you. And here you have in John, Christ himself saying, I am. Well, they were so happy in verse 59, they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. See, he was, in the beginning, was the Word was God, and the Word was God. You know, he is, I am. So, Christ was there before the foundation of the world. That's what we just discovered. Even more, flip the page on page 3 of your handout. Jump down to 1 Peter 1:18 through 20. Here we're talking about the blood of Christ. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So we find a couple of things. We see that Christ was there before the foundation of the world and that the blood of Christ was established as the way of forgiveness before the foundation of the world. Now, backing up on Ephesians 1:3-14, Paul is now saying this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him at the same time, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame with him in love. So that same truth that Paul's talking about in Colossians 1:25-26, when he says it is but is now revealed, there's some hefty things attached to that, and this verse Ephesians 1:3-14 is part of that. He's saying that we were chosen in him. This is a big thing. This is an amazing thing to absorb. But let's get even more of a comparison here. In the next section, it says from or since. When you do from or since the foundation of the world, you see things talked about of Israel. You see in verse Matthew 13:34-35, Jesus speaking unto the multitude in parables, because in verse 35 it was fulfilling what was spoken by a prophet. So in the Old Testament, it talked about fulfilling these parables. And these parables are, I will utter things which have been kept secret since or from the foundation of the world. And here you have in 25:32-34. He's saying to the sheep on his right hand and the goats are on his left, and the king will say unto him on his right hand, come be ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You know, there was a kingdom that was set up, and there will be a kingdom set up for Israel. In Luke 11, we see that in verse 50, the blood of all the prophets which were shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. Again, having to do with Israel. Page 4. In Hebrews, we see that there's wanting to enter into a rest. And then these works were finished from the foundation of the world. All these passages, and we don't have time to go through them all, but you've got your handout so you can go study them. And that's what the intent really here is. Just we're just touching on the very surface. There's not time in Sunday morning to drill down, but there is time to point these things out. But there's a difference when you look at Scripture and when you apply things that happened before and consider what happened after. And in the conclusion I have down here, I've kind of written just kind of the points of bringing these thoughts together. That before the foundation of worlds where we find Christ, and it's the source of the believer's eternal position. You know, 1 Timothy 2:5 says there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Okay? That Christ was there before the foundation of the world, securing the way of salvation with his blood. And we saw that in 1 Peter. And you referenced that in John 17:24 there. It's now revealed that we were chosen in him at that time. This is amazing. I mean, just amazing that we're not founded in Abraham. We're now founded in him before the foundation of the world. Everything since or from the foundation of the world in the Old Testament, things that were written, are there and were revealed. This is something that in Ephesians and Colossians, Paul was saying, but now is revealed. See, so he was given a special truth, body of truth that was given to him specifically to reveal at that time unto the Gentiles. So today we have this separate calling and inheritance. And this is that piece that was hidden in God before the foundation of the truth. This is the body of truth that Paul calls the mystery. And it was given to be revealed at the close of Acts. And that's what's being brought to our attention in these passages. So when Miles Coverdale says, you know, it's going to help you understand Scripture. Last week we looked at, you know, baptism. This week we've kind of looked at a couple of things. We looked at the phrase "but now," and we looked at foundation of the world, adding before and from or since. And these are just the surface of these studies. And I encourage you to take and go back and look that up. But the point is that when we study Scripture to be approved unto God, and we compare the things that differ in Philippians 1:10. And we compare spiritual things with spiritual, that 1 Corinthians 2:13 brings out. We are approved in His sight, and that's really what it's all about, is that we are approved in His sight, and that we would be mature with the Scriptures and be able to study these things and be faithful and be available to help teach others also. So let's close in prayer. Father, Lord, today the lesson, we just lift it up to You, and we just pray that Your Son be glorified. Lord, any error in this lesson today, pray that You strike it out. But most of all, just thank You that we do have the freedom to study, that we can take subjects and we can do some comparative contrast. We know that, Lord, the important thing here is we learn how that it's important to compare Scripture with Scripture so that we would be prove the things that are excellent. We just thank You for the opportunity to do that. And thank You for this assembly. Thank You for those who attend. And thank You for all the people that contribute. And we just praise Your name, for it's in Christ and we pray for His sake. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.